genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, live here at 10 o'clock on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the Internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work in Ventura. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is notoriety. Each of my guests will be discussing a topic that is either famous or infamous. My first guest grew up in San Francisco in the 1970s with an anxiety disorder that was only later diagnosed as obsessive compulsive disorder. Mistakenly diagnosed as schizophrenic, she gradually realized that the compulsions waxed and waned depending on her level of stress. We'll discuss growing up with OCD before we knew what OCD was. My second guest is best known for her role as Jeannie on the hit TV series I Dream of Jeannie. We'll discuss her magical life both on and off the screen from her latest book, Jeannie Out of the Bottle. My third guest dishes the dirt on the Professional Golf Association, the PGA, and pro golfers in general. She has an inside look at the profession. She was married to John Daly, the bad boy of golf. She blows the cover off the gentlemanly world of golf with her memoir, Teed Off. And as always, if you want to join us, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest is Tracy Faust. She grew up in San Francisco Bay Area, and she received a degree in American Literature from UCSC. That's University of California at Santa Cruz. Her writing credits include contemporary short fiction in the Black Satellite Anthology to winning the Northern California Olympiad of the Arts Award for the same category. She has also been published in Hyperlexia Literary Journal. Tracy currently lives in San Diego with her two youngest sons and her boyfriend. Nowhere Near Normal is her first full-length work of nonfiction, and we're working to get Tracy on the line. While we're working for that, I do have some tickets that I'll be giving away in this hour. I'll be giving away two tickets to the Chris Botti and Friends concert that will be happening this Sunday, May the 1st, at 2 o'clock over at the Ventura College. Now, these tickets are worth $20, and you can use them to listen in on one of the great performers of our time, Chris Botti, and he's bringing his orchestra of horns and violins and a couple of singers as well. The performance will be this Sunday, May the 1st at 2 o'clock over at Ventura College, and I've got these two tickets to give away. We'll be giving those away later in this hour as well. You'll have a ticket redemption, and you can take this from our studios, redeem it for those two tickets on Sunday. Then you can take you and your sweetie to go hear a wonderful musical concert under the sun at Ventura College. Our theme today is notoriety. We'll be talking about subjects that are both famous and infamous. My first guest will be talking about a disease that we think about when we see shows like Hoarders and things like that, or we think of germaphobes like Howard Hughes, or we think about Donald Trump as well. Now we're joined by Tracy Faust. As I said, she grew up in San Francisco, now lives in San Diego, author of the book Nowhere Near Normal, a memoir of OCD. Welcome to the show, Tracy. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and so glad to have you on, because this must have been a very difficult book to write, and we'll get into that in a minute. But let's just set the stage for my listeners who may not really be familiar with OCD. So when you were a kid growing up, all the neighborhood kids were outside playing. Curiously enough, you were inside making sure that your little miniature Catholic saint statues in the windowsill always pointed due north. Or you were scratching.
Among other things.
Among other things. Or you're scratching your head. You actually scratched yourself bald on your head. Or you'd snap your fingers every single time you heard the word God, which I think, you know, again, as you got older, your OCD really blossomed into panic attacks and other bizarre behavior. You developed a fear of the sun, an obsession with contracting eradicated diseases, and the idea that you could actually catch yourself on fire just by thinking about it.
That's right.
I mean, you know,
to hear you say all of that, wow, that's really insane, isn't it?
Well, I'm not saying it to ridicule you in any way. I'm just saying to give you the sense of the severity of this particular disease. So for my listeners, describe what obsessive compulsive disorder is.
Well, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, it's an anxiety disorder, and usually it's a clinical anxiety disorder, and that's just kind of a fancy way of saying that it usually requires medication and cognitive therapy to control the symptoms. The obsessions come with what's called what-if thinking. What if I don't touch the doorknob, then somebody might come into the house and rob me? What if I don't wash my hands, then I might get sick? And then the compulsions of doing things like turning all those statues a certain way or pulling out your hair, those things are actually in the same category as Tourette syndrome in a sense that they're sort of brain tics, and it's a way to comfort and lower your anxiety level.
Interesting. Now, in your book, Nowhere Near Normal, you describe your earliest memories of OCD at age 7. Is that typical? Is that a typical age?
Yeah, actually, the typical age for girls is about 9. I started at 7 becoming obsessed with germs. I worried about germs on in lunch meat. Like, I couldn't have two pieces of bologna touching each other in a sandwich unless there was, like, lettuce in between. Or I couldn't touch something else if I had made myself a salami sandwich or something like that, something that had to do with meat or fruit.
Wow. Now, you say that for girls that 9 is the typical age where it starts to form.
Yeah.
You were a little precocious in that. For know, is OCD more common in boys or in girls? And what age do boys start to exhibit OCD behavior?
Yeah, it is a little more common in girls than it is in boys. And boys actually start to show symptoms when they're about 16. Usually around the time that their voice starts changing is if they have anxiety, behavioral issues, that's usually when they'll start peaking or becoming at their worst. And, you know, it's really hard when children are little to analyze, is this just an odd behavior? Because all kids have quirky little things that they do. They sing to themselves or they do little strange things. And so you really have to keep an eye out and know what is just an odd little behavior or what is something that could warrant seeing a psychologist.
All right, we're talking to Tracy Faust. Now, Tracy, probably everybody knows the case of Howard Hughes and how later in his life he became a germaphobe and actually
right.
exhibited OCD behavior. Now, you say boys sort of exhibit it or start to exhibit it at 15 to 16 when their voice changes. How come it manifested itself in such a big way in Howard Hughes so very late in his life? He was in his 50s and 60s when it really came to the forefront.
Yeah, I think that what I know about his personality type, being the type A personality that he was, always striving for perfection, always wanting more, never really being satisfied with anything, that's a typical anxious anxiety behavioral pattern that you see. And he could have had OCD symptoms, and they just didn't manifest until he was actually older, until he actually stopped working so much. And and you know, sometimes when you start relaxing and you're idle and you're not on medication and you're not seeing a therapist, that's when symptoms become really, really at their worst.
I see. All right, we're talking to Tracy Faust. Now, Tracy, is there anything that triggers OCD, like a psychological trauma or anything like that, that just triggers it and sets it off?
No, not usually. If you have OCD, you're usually born with anxiety problems, but the obsessions and the compulsions that come along with anxiety issues can be set off by anything. And I'll give you an example, a recent example. In Southern California, you remember in 2007 when we had all those horrible wildfires.
Yes.
And I do have a fear of fire and a phobia about being out in the sun too long, or a phobia about like the grass being dry and all of that. And I was doing okay for a while until we had the wildfires in October of 2007, and it really kind of lit a switch in my brain and set me back a little bit to where I had to go back into therapy and journal about my thoughts. And I thought that that there was going to be a fire all of the time in every corner of Southern California. It really affected me.
It sounds like it was very traumatic. We're talking to Tracy Faust, author of the book Nowhere Near Normal. And Tracy, I've got to ask you, what inspired you to share your personal story with the world in the book Nowhere Near Normal? I mean, you laid it out there. You laid it bare.
Yeah. It wasn't so easy to do that either, but it annoys me the shame and the stigma attached to mental illness. Mental illness, anxiety, and clinical depression, these are real problems that have to be handled in a clinical environment. And I had a therapist tell me one time, you wouldn't tell a diabetic to just get themselves better, get off insulin, and think yourself well. And I think because with mental illness, most of the time, outwardly, people look fine, and they're kind of going about their day in the motions of being okay, and nobody knows what's going on. And so people say, well, you don't look sick. You don't act like you're sick. Why can't you just, what are you depressed about? Why don't you just go for a jog, and then you'll be happy? Stuff like that. And I want people to know that if you suffer from any kind of clinical depression or anxiety, and depression comes on the heels of OCD almost 100% of the time, it's really important to get help that you need to maintain a job and to blend into society, because ultimately that's really what we want to do. Nobody wants to be sick.
No, no one does. And it's so funny that you should say that, because of the anxiety, the stigma that's attached. Most people think, well, if you've got a mental illness, it's all in your brain. You can just think yourself out of it. And that's what leads them to that kind of theory. So, but it begs the bigger question. How did you survive your childhood difficulties with OCD? And how have you grown to handle your OCD and its symptoms as an adult?
Well, in my childhood, I wasn't officially diagnosed until I was about 13. And then I had a lot of resources. I love to read, and I love to do research about things. And so I read a lot of books, and I got a lot of pamphlets from my psychologist about what to do. And I learned that way. And but now as an adult, I still do all of the things that I did as a kid. I journal, and I still see a psychologist, and I still take medication, and I'm not ashamed to say that I do, because it helps me to do everything that I can do now. I can work, graduated school, all of those things. But let me tell you, though, I hate to use the word cure, or, that the symptoms are 100% controlled or anything like that, because that's really not the case.
Is it safer to say that it's in remission? Yeah. Sorry, Tracy, is it safer to say that it's in remission?
Yeah, it is. And something can, like the wildfires, that they can trigger something like that. Another thing that happened to me was during the swine flu outbreak. I started becoming really obsessed again about germs and about doorknobs and public bathrooms, that sort of thing. But I do know now, I accept it. It's part of my personality. So, yeah, the book has a lot of dark humor in it, because that's another way that I deal with things, is by making fun of myself and not taking myself too seriously. And a lot of times people with anxiety issues, one of the main reasons why they're so miserable is because they're so worried about what other people are going to think of them.
Very good. We're talking to Tracy Faust, author of the book Nowhere Near Normal, a memoir of OCD. And Tracy, you mentioned it earlier in one of your answers to the questions about the stigma associated with mental illness. How did you address the stigma issue?
Well, as a kid, I just made jokes, or I just dealt with it in school by faking a stomach ache, wanting to go home. Or as a teenager, as I got older, I dealt with it by rebellion. Being kind of out of control and running away. In the book, I talk about how I ran away. But I think actually humor is the best way. And I have friends and family that ask me now, oh, are you still on your medication? Why don't you just get off your medication? Why don't you just exercise more, do some yoga? And all those things are great. I don't think that those things are bad for any kind of health purposes. But for me, I have to use everything all together, and I want people to understand that I have to do what works for me, just like you have to do what works for you. And I think it's kind of dangerous, and it's just maybe not a good thing to tell people that there's a one-way cure-all for anything, mental health included.
No, that's no one size fits all. We're talking to Tracy Faust. And Tracy, you now are a mother. You have two young sons living with you down in San Diego. What advice do you have for parents whose children are battling any kind of a psychological disorder? And one of the first things that comes to my mind as a parent and as a grandparent is my first thought would be that of guilt. You know, what did I do wrong that my child is sick? So what advice do you have for parents with children who have mental psychological disorders?
Yes, it's so hard, specifically talking about obsessive compulsive disorder when children are little, to say, is this just a strange behavior or is this something serious? But what you have to understand with kids is that they have no idea what's going on. And it's a very scary thing. When I was little, I used to brush my teeth with Ajax cleanser. And I did this in the bathroom in secret because I was afraid of germs. And I never told my mother. Nobody knew what was going on. I was very scared to say anything. And you know, there are a lot of programs on television that you can watch with your child about OCD or about anxiety and obsessions. And if they're looking at something and you think, does this register with them, you can always ask them, do you do stuff like, you know?
And that would lead to a conversation about it as well.
Yeah, keeping the lines of conversation open.
That's good. And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Tracy Faust, author of the book Nowhere Near Normal, A Memoir of OCD. Tracy, if people are intrigued by your life story, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can buy my book anywhere. They can go to Amazon and order it. They can buy it at Barnes & Noble, at Borders, any place where books are sold. My website is at WordPress. And it's Tracy Faust, F-O-U-S-T, not A-U-S-T. But and there's also a lot of great resources in the back of the book where it directs you to chat rooms or places on the Internet to get more information.
That's Tracy Faust, T-R-A-C-I, Faust, F-O-U-S-T.com. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Tracy, for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you, Billy. Bye-bye.